He was afraid and began to sing. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. When it comes to God, he didn't wait a long time. But the scripture says, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you bless us to see. Lord, we thank you that you've been a good God. Lord, we thank you that you are a way maker. Lord, we thank you for being a heart fixer. Lord, we thank you for being a healer. Lord, even when doctors and medicine gives up, Lord, we know we still have hope in thee. Now, Lord, we ask you today to speak a word. Lord, speak a word to clear up our yesterdays. Lord, speak a word to clear up the confusion of today. Lord, speak a word, hallelujah, that you might speak into our future. Lord, send a word to heal today. Lord, send a word to deliver. Send a word to set free. Lord, loose somebody that came in bound this morning. Lord, someone that came in on the brink of despair, giving up, loose their minds, loose their spirit. Oh God, speak a word, for thy word is truth. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I know many of us have our own personal interpretation of faith. But our interpretation of faith, even what is promoted today, is not what God intended for faith to be. Because faith is God, and God is faith. Faith is God, and God is faith. Amen. I just want to read the portion of the scripture that we're going to focus our attention on this morning for where we're going to get our message. That being the 31st verse. And the Bible reads, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So our message this morning is doubt is a sign of little faith. Doubt is a sign of little faith. Now I would ask you to define doubt for me. But I'm sure most of us would say doubt is a mind is not belief. Some of us would say, well, doubt is not being sure whether or not God can do what he says. But I'd like to submit for your hearing that in Hebrew life, the Hebrew don't have a word for doubt. So if Hebrew don't have a word for doubt, that means doubt has to be more than just belief. There's no Hebrew word for doubt according to the Old Testament. Now, if we fast forward to today, there's a lot of meaning for doubt. But the Hebrews had no meaning for doubt. So if they don't have a meaning for doubt, and we know Jesus was a Jew or he was a Hebrew, can we say praise the Lord? Amen. How many know Jesus was Hebrew?
Amen.
So even though this passage of scripture has been translated in Greek, Jesus did not speak Greek. So if Jesus didn't speak Greek, the question is, what did Jesus say if he didn't say, O ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? What did Jesus say? That's something to consider. Because the Hebrew don't say doubt. Because doubt, what doubt to the Hebrew mind means to say God does not exist. Down in the Hebrew mind says that there is no presence of God. And all of the Hebrews were so fully committed to the fact that knowing that God spoke this world into existence. The Hebrew knew that we're only here today because God spoke. So they can't figure out how people can have doubt. So the question is, if there's no Hebrew word for doubt, and then there's a Greek word for doubt, and we know that James talks about doubt, and we know that Paul talks about doubt, what word would they have used? So, because if you're like me, I want to know if they didn't say doubt. What did they say? Amen? What, don't you want to know what did they say?
Amen.
So I said, well, if they don't have a Hebrew word for doubt, there is one scripture in the Old Testament, I believe in Genesis, that talks about doubt, but it's not the same context of doubt that we use today. Because when I read it, I said, well, I have never being sure. So I said, well, if they did use the Hebrew word for doubt, then what did Jesus say to Peter when he was walking on the water? Amen. What did he say? What word would he have used to represent doubt? So I was shocked to find out. Remember a couple of weeks ago we went over a Pela?
Yes.
Pela is there anything too hard for the Lord? So when the Lord bids Peter to come to him, Peter comes out of the boat and he's walking by faith. Are you with me?
Amen.
So he's walking to Jesus by faith. And amazingly, if you pay attention to the scripture, it says that when the wind became boisterous and the storm was blowing hard, that Peter began to fear. And when Peter began to fear, he stopped. So when Peter stepped out of the boat to go to Jesus, he was walking in faith. Faith means he was walking in obedience to God's word. He did not question the veracity of what Jesus said. He did not reason in his mind saying, I can't get to Jesus. So he began to walk by faith. So now we're dealing with faith and we're dealing with doubt. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
I don't want to confuse you. So if there's no word for doubt and he's walking by faith, then what is faith? Faith is in walking in obedience to God's word. That's what faith is. It's unquestionable obedience. So as Peter is walking to Jesus, the Lord, he cries out when he begins to sing because he loses his focus. Because the scripture says we're supposed to look unto who?
Jesus.
Why? He's the author of faith. So when he took his eyes off of the author of faith, the Bible lets us know he began to sing. And he cried out. And listen, he had almost got to Jesus. How do we know? Because the Bible said all Jesus had to do was reach out. So in obedience, he began to walk to Jesus. But he stopped. He hesitated. He stopped walking. He stopped going forward in faith. So what is doubt? Doubt is when you stop doing what God told you to do. That's what doubt is. So he asked Peter, he said, Peter, you almost made it to me. Why did you stop? I imagine if some of us look over our lives from the past, many of us started walking with God many years ago and we had great faith and confidence in God. But along the way, trials and troubles came and some of us have stopped walking with God. Well, that's what doubt is. Doubt is when you stop walking with God. Another way that you look at doubt, doubt would be like Eve when she was dealing with the serpent in the garden. She knew what God had said. God had said specifically, do not eat of the fruit. He never said don't touch it because he was supposed to dress and keep the land. So what the devil does a lot of times to get us to doubt God is he twists God's word to make us walk in disobedience. When you walk in disobedience, in a minute we're going to go over Jesus' definition of faith. Now, with that in mind, can we go to Romans, the 14th chapter, and we're going to the 22nd verse. So, what is the difference between walking in faith and doubt? That's what we're dealing with today. Because doubt is a sign of little faith. Doubt, in essence, what doubt means is you don't trust God and you don't believe God. It's not questioning God. It's not a mental ascent. It's not a cognitive process of questioning God. Well, how do we know that? The Bible is full of men that question God. Elijah questioned God. Moses questioned God. Amen. Abraham questioned God. So doubt is not a matter of questioning. Doubt is a matter of not doing what you know the Lord told you to do. Can we say hallelujah? Where Romans the 14th chapter and the 22nd verse reads, hast thou faith? Have it for thyself. Your faith is supposed to be before who? God, and not man. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed. And he that doubteth is didn't get what you wanted from God. The reason why you didn't get what you wanted from God is because we're just like Peter. We almost get there, we stop. We hesitate. We begin to look around at circumstances and conditions. Instead of believing God, can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Romans, the fourth chapter, deals with Abraham, who is the father of faith. And I just want to go through this quickly, and then we're going to go to Luke, the 17th chapter, and let Jesus explain what faith is. So faith is more than believing. Faith is walking in obedience. First, faith is not questioning God. Faith is, God, I started out a long time ago.
Yes.
And there he is. And then I became an idol, because within myself, I began to rationalize, saying, what I think is more important than God, that is doubt. Amen. Faith is, I believe God, and that's all that counts. Can we just say praise the Lord? So Romans the fourth chapter, y'all still with me? I don't want to confuse anyone. Because I know we all have this misconception about what faith and doubt is. Amen. And we've been taught for years, all you have to do is just believe and you'll receive it. Well, if you believe and don't walk in faith, how can you receive it? We all quote Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. For by faith we believe that the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. But then, Paul, writing to the Hebrew, defines what faith is. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a sacrifice which was righteous. That means he did what God told him to do in obedience. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet come, not yet happened, he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his soul. That's walking in obedience. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
It says, by faith, Enoch walked with God and was not found because God translated him. Well, why did God translate him? Because before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So the scriptures are defining what faith is. Faith is walking in obedience. It says that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he didn't even know where he was going, he obeyed God and he went. So these are examples of faith. Hallelujah. So a lot of us say we have faith. But my question is, how can you have faith if you're not walking in obedience to God's word? Can we say hallelujah? So Romans 4:17 reads, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who does what? Quickeneth the dead. That means he makes dead things alive, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not, he didn't have little faith. Amen. Now we, like, once again, faith has nothing to do with what you think. It's not your mental process, because we know Abraham questioned God. He said, God, how can I have a child when I'm old and my daughter is old? But the Bible said that he did not question God when it comes to faith. Do you understand? He said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. This staggering means he did not doubt. Alright, so when somebody is staggering, you know they can't walk straight. Are you with me? So the scripture says he did not stagger. and my wife's dead body give us a son, but I'm going to still believe. And if you just want more reference to this, now Abraham was there just to let you know that faith has nothing to do with what you think, but it has to do with obedience. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, I know I'm going to call the scripture, y'all just stay with me for a minute. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, God comes to Abraham and tells him that no, Ishmael won't be your seed, but Isaac will be your seed. And he said, at this time next year, at the appointed time, Sarah's going to have a child. And we know Sarah laughed within herself. But then the Lord fast forward to the 18th chapter. The Lord comes to Abraham again. And he says to Abraham, listen, your problem is this. You haven't done what I told you to do. Right? This is when he's reasoning with him and asks Tamar, is there anything too hard for God? He said, I told you you're going to have a child at the appointed time. But in order for you and Sarah to have a child, you have to be obedient. You have to have a relationship to produce a child. Because at this time, Abraham and Sarah said, we can't have a child because the men or women had ceased with Sarah. So God needed Abraham to go forward. He needed Abraham to do what he said he needed to do in obedience. Can we say hallelujah? So he said he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. And therefore he was called righteous. Well, what made Abraham righteous? He was obedient. Today, how many want to be righteous with God? Then to be righteous, you have to be obedient. All right, are y'all still with me? Now let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. We're still talking about faith and how the Hebrew had no word for doubt. And I'm going to go through this Luke 17, starting with the first verse. I need you to understand, the reason that you don't have what you need from God is not because you don't believe, it's because you're not walking in obedience to what God told you to do. That's a simple answer. Say, well, I believe, sometimes I believe, sometimes I don't. Well, and you believe it, do you stop? Right? This is like you're at a crossroad. Anybody ever get to a crossroad? You don't know, Lord, which direction should I take? This is what the difference between faith and doubt. Faith, when you get to the crossroad, I continue to go the way to follow Jesus. I continue to follow the Lord. But when you get to a crossroad and doubt, in your mind you say, I know the right thing to do. You ever heard people say, I know what's the right thing to do? But they don't do it. So I said, I know the right thing to do is to follow God and be obedient to his word. But I'm at a crossroad. But in the back of my mind, I think I have a better way. So I think what I think is better than what God says. So since I'm at a crossroad and I don't fully trust God, I won't walk in obedience to God. I'm going to go the wrong direction. That's what doubt causes us to do. Many of us today are in a messed up situation because we don't believe God enough to walk in obedience to his word. Well, Luke 17 reads, this is disciples. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast it to the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. He says, take heed to yourselves. Now he says, listen, I need you to pay attention to what I'm saying. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Some of us have a real problem with that. When somebody offends us, y'all don't have to see me. I already know I deal with them. I deal with people all the time. I deal with people that, this is 2019, that got stuff messed up from back in. Let me make y'all something so y'all don't think I'm talking about you. Some people in 2019 got stuff mixed up from 1900. And now y'all 119 years old, so you know I ain't talking about you. But I'm just saying how sometimes when things affect us that happened last year, then you did not forgive. Right? So he tells me, he said, you have to learn to forgive. Say, they offended me. And boy, wait till they see what I'm about to do to them. The Bible says, vengeance belongs to me, God said. God's word. I don't want you to be all having animosity and anger and holding on to stuff yesterday. Now, if I stop right now and have an altar call, most of us are going to be at the altar. Because in the back of our minds, a lot of us are holding on to stuff. Husband told wife, I didn't know you were going to be like this. And she said, I didn't know you were going to be like this. Well, you're supposed to be forgiven. I heard one bishop say, one wife told the husband, say, I should have left you at home with your father. And the husband looked at the wife and said, I should have left you at home with your mother. But you know why they weren't forgiven? Right? So how many of our lives are all messed up today because of what happened yesterday? Right? Because we won't let stuff go, we just hold on to it. Right? So when I let it go, the first time something goes wrong, you say, you did this before. That's not forgiveness. And then we try and figure out, well, how come I can't get relief from God? Amen. God, listen to me. God don't have no spiritual Alka-Seltzer. You know Alka-Seltzer, that pop fizz is? Oh, what a relief it is. But God don't have no spiritual Alka-Seltzer. You got to walk in obedience to God if you want some relief. God can't help you holding on to yesterday. Amen. If every time I'm talking to you, I'm talking about what you did yesterday, you're not walking in obedience. So the Lord is dealing with the disciples, and listen, if your brother, next verse says, if he trespasses against you 7 times in a day and come and say, forgive me, he said, then you ought to what? Forgive him. Now, the disciples are saying, wait a minute, Lord. The next verse says, how do you want us to, you mean 7 times and they come to me, and then I believe in Matthew, he said, if he come to you and ask for forgiveness, he said, 7 times 70. In other words, don't you keep a count. Now I'm walking in obedience, I'm walking in faith. How many of us are counting all the stuff that someone has done wrong? God doesn't hold you accountable for what they've done. He holds you accountable for the fact that you are to forgive. So now listen, what the Lord does to explain to them, your problem is not faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Is that what he said? The Lord said, wait a minute, let me give you a parable to help you understand what faith is. Because obviously, you missed it. You missed what faith is. He said, how many of you are going to just highlight? How many of you will have a servant? Now, what, you know what a servant is? A slave. He's using this illustration. If you have, you are a master and you have a servant, and you tell him to go and do this, and he goes and works out in the field and come in at the end of the day. Amen. He said, now, he's your servant. He's using the illustration to explain what faith is. He said, now you tell him, wait a minute, you're my servant. Before you go take care of you, you take care of all of my needs first. He said, now, do you think that the master is going to command that servant because he did what was told him to do? Now they want to increase their what? Faith. He said, well, your faith is not increased by believing. Let me go into the one verse. Let me go to the last verse. In that 17th chapter, he said, but likewise ye, when you have done all those things that were, wait a minute, that's what faith is? Yes. He said, when you've done all those things that were commanded to you, say to yourself, we are profitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. So they're trying to have ascend to faith. He said, no, just do what you're told to do. Do you understand that? He said, well, in order for your faith to increase, you have to be obedient to God. Can I go to some areas? Some areas to show you how we can be disobedient? Can y'all say, praise the Lord, say something. I've been a lot longer, but I'm just trying to tell you, there's a difference between walking in faith and walking in doubt. Doubt does not walk in obedience. What happens in doubt? You start, but you stop. And a lot of people not only stop, they turn around and go back. That's doubt. Faith is, Lord, I've had a hard time. Lord, I'm struggling, but I'm still going forward. Lord, I don't understand how you're doing it, but I'm still going forward. I'm walking in obedience to your word. Still walking on obedience to your word, that is faith. thing is doubt. Amen. Amen. So a lot of us are trying to figure out, I said, God, you know, I know we believe the name and claim and stuff, but it ain't scripture. You can name and claim all you want. But if God don't say it's going to happen, it ain't going to happen. So a lot of people are naming and claiming, but they're living in sin. Well, how can you name and claim living in sin when Paul said he that doubteth, amen, he that does not walk in faith and believe, he said this is sin. So sin cannot be faith, and faith never mixes with sin. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So why don't I have the deliverance that I need? Because I'm not walking in faith. I'm walking according to my own mind, and God can't help me. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Jesus says, how many know Jesus is just a great teacher?
Yes.
I know a lot of times we don't come to street church to be preached to, but you know what? When we can preach, we need to learn to live right. So, Jesus is a great teacher. Jesus says this in, I believe, Mark 16, 15, or 16, 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized. So my question is, a whole lot of people have been saved, but they haven't been baptized. So how can you be saved when Jesus said, he that believeth? Why? Because when you believe, you walk in obedience. Well, what does obedience help you do? Get baptized. Then you are saved. After you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is evidenced by speaking in tongues. So a lot of people are saved, but they never went down in the water. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be. Nicodemus said, Lord, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. He said, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh. He said, I'm not talking about a fleshly baptism. He said, my mom would be born again in the spirit. So a lot of us are trying to get faith and stuff from God, but we're walking in complete disobedience. And then a lot of times we say, well, I know a whole lot of people that are worse than me, and look what they got. That don't mean God gave it to them. You understand? The Bible talks about the devil deceiving even the elect with mind wonders in these last evil days. Just because people have something don't mean God gave it to them. Amen. Because a tree is known by its fruit. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Any of y'all, you know, this New York is about the apple state, right? Where's New York? And it's the big apple? I'm from Georgia. Georgia is the peace state. I'm trying to help you understand the difference between believing God and being obedient. So I know where I'm going to come to the Big Apple looking for peaches. Because a tree is known. So you're not going to find a whole lot of peach trees in New York. You'll find a few. But Georgia is full of peach trees. South Carolina is full of peach trees. Because they are known by their fruit. New York is not known for growing watermelon. Because it's too cold. So we all know a tree by its fruit. We know a state by its whatever it produces. I know what it's called, but what kind of state? Come on, y'all help me out. I'm listening. Idaho's a potato state. So you're not going to Idaho to get no apples? Well, the problem we have in church is that we're going to the wrong place trying to get the right thing.
Right.
You all with me?
Yeah.
If you want potatoes, go to Idaho.
Right.
If you want apples, go to New York. If you want the best peaches in the land, go to Georgia. But the church is going to Idaho and can't find no peaches and get all upset. Well, the problem isn't what you are looking for. The problem is where you went. You went to the wrong place trying to get what you wanted.
Right.
But a tree is known by its fruit.
Yeah.
So, now, examine, the Bible says, examine what? Yourself. Can I have 5 more minutes? I promise. 5 minutes.
Yes.
The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're in the
faith
or not. Right. Faith or not. So if you're in the Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to give you a couple. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to take my 5 minutes. I'm going to use them judiciously. Right? I'm going to just take 5 minutes. But I don't want you to leave out of church the same way you came in, thinking you're walking in faith and you're walking in doubt. I don't want you to leave out of church saying, I believe God, but you won't do what he said do. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? How many of us love God? I'm going to ask, everybody love God? And I'm going to ask you to keep his commandments. That's personal. I'm going to ask you to keep his commandments. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Y'all ever have people say, man, some things in the word of God is just so hard. He said, my commandments are not grievous. My commandments are not hard to keep. Right? So if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments and love me and you follow me, you're in faith. Yes. But if you don't keep my commandments, you're not in faith. So is forgiveness a commandment? Yes. Yes. So now I need you to search your heart and mind and say, what stuff are you holding on from 1900? What stuff are you holding on from yesterday? You know, I know church ain't supposed to do no acting in church. You're supposed to be the word of God and the truth, right? I'm just saying, acting in church. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, shouting, and a wrong person come by your face, and you look like somebody just took your last shred. That ain't faith. You understand that? That ain't faith. You all happy, the whole family's together, and everybody having a good time, and somebody come in, and you look like, I don't know, what's a sourpuss look like? But you look like you just ate 20 lemons at one time. That's not faith. Faith is being obedient to God. Somebody say, I'm so glad. How many glad you're free? Well, if you're really free, you shouldn't be holding on to nothing from yesterday. Because that is not faith. That is not walking in obedience. That is doubt. Now my message, can I mess with y'all money for a minute?
Yes.
I'm a mess with him anyway, y'all. I've been trying to get away from what God keeps bringing back to my mind. I'm a mess with him. How many of you know the Bible said the church? Man, no, I didn't read that in the New Testament. It's all full of the New Testament. The church ought to pay tithes and offerings. You sing, sanctify, Holy Ghost filled, got fire baptized, running for your life, and don't pay your tithes and offering. That's not faith.
Yes.
Y'all ain't gotta say amen.
Amen.
I say amen to myself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Well, I believe we're calling your tithes and offering now. All right, I just mentioned that for a minute. I'm just saying that, but that is true. Right? Well, Jesus, the Bible said, well, you don't have to pay your tithes and offering, but your curse is for curse. I saved $1,000 and I had to pay $2,000. But did you pay your tithes and offering? This ain't a resurrection message, is it? It is a resurrection message. Because if you're not walking in faith, you can't be resurrected. When you come back, you're going to come for those that are walking in obedience to his word. Amen. The Bible says, if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in your mortal body, he shall quicken you. What does that mean? If I'm walking in obedience, when he appears in the sky, cloud in the sky, when we hear the last trump, when he says, come my people, because I'm walking in obedience, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you up. I'm walking in obedience. All right, that's what my finances are. Let us stand. Let us stand. I told y'all 5 minutes, and I'm going to be obedient to my own word. Pastor said 5 minutes, he's not true. He said 10. I ain't gonna say 10, I'm gonna say 5. But what I'm saying is, doubt is not fully involving God. A lot of us face challenges, hardships, and difficulties. Listen, saints, your difficulties are not intended to pull you away from God. Your difficulties are intended to pull you to God. Many of us have been walking the water to Jesus. But so much is happening all around. Our lives are so distracted, we have stopped. I encourage you, get back on the path. Can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So doubt is a sign of what? Can we say this together? Can we just say all this together? It's real big on the screen. Doubt is a sign of faith. Now, last week we went over great faith. The question is, do you have real faith or great faith? Hell yeah.